Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LaDuc, and for Ray Graff this afternoon, welcome. And today, we welcome back News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck. Radar Reed is the weekday noon meteorologist for WNYT, and you'll hear him doing weather on WAMC very often. He joined News Channel 13 in July of 2019 as the weekend evening meteorologist. Before that, he began his broadcasting career at WKTV in Utica. A Capital Region native, Reed likes to go to area schools and discuss the intricacies of meteorology. If you have a question about the weather, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And Ray has in the script here a note that this is not a climate change show. Dan DeLore will be back for another climate change show coming up. This is a weather show, and they're connected but different. So, is it raining men? Is it raining mice? Give us a call, 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. Hello, Reed. Welcome back.
Hey, happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is our first dance together.
Yeah, this is our first one. It's nice to meet you. We were having a good chat right before the show. So yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, you're recently back from vacation.
Yes.
Where did you go and how was the weather?
We went to Iceland. So for my wife and I, we like to travel a lot. Her dream vacation was always Greece. That's where we went when I proposed to her.
Very well done.
My dream vacation was Iceland. So clearly very different ideas for a vacation. Obviously, Iceland's a little bit more for people who like to be out in nature and doing those kinds of activities. So weather was awesome.
Yeah.
It was upper 30s, low 40s the whole week. So pretty much what you would expect for around here right now, around this time of year. And then we had sunshine pretty much every day except for our second to last day, which we were driving for most of the day, so it wasn't the end of the world. We weren't going to miss out on anything. And then Sunday, and then on the last day when we got on the plane, it started to rain at the airport. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah,
that was great.
As long as it doesn't delay the flight, or even if it does.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's fine. It was great, though. Yeah.
When you go on vacation as a meteorologist, mm-hmm. do you keep an eye on the weather, or do you take a break from really focusing on it?
So I take a break from here, but then it starts to focus more so on out over there. So like my wife she'll laugh at me or just like after a while she'll start to blow me off as of like, cause she's like, all right, Reed, all right. Because we'll be flying. I'm like, you see that cloud over there? Like that's going to eventually be like a rain. Like it'll be a thunderstorm a little bit later. And she's like, all right, cool. I'm like, all right, sorry. I know it's not as cool to you as it is to me.
Well, I think almost everybody's spouse reacts that way to some of their work talk sometimes.
Yeah, but she does like it when it comes to like vacation because she's like, what are you packing? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring like this and this. And like, it's probably going to rain this one day. She's like, okay. And like taking her little notes. So it worked out. But it also worked out in the extent of Iceland. The weather is a lot harder to predict. So I would be looking, I'm like, oh, it's probably going to rain soon in these spots, we should probably call it, and it would, and we're like, cool. So it worked out. Yeah.
What makes the weather harder to predict in Iceland?
I think it's the fact that it's an island, so there's not a lot of observation. Like for us here in New York, we have pretty much the whole continual United States up to here to observe and see how everything's forming, whereas you have just the Atlantic and then the complex terrain of Iceland itself. You can get some localized things that pop up that you wouldn't necessarily be able to predict happening until it unfolds.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's another reason why.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Call with your weather questions for Reed. And it is about to be calendar spring.
Yeah.
Is it about to be, and it's weather spring today and tomorrow.
Already has been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is the Northeast.
Yeah, it is the Northeast.
Is this a fool's spring?
It's a little too soon to tell on that part. I think based on the theme of how this winter's gone, you can tell we're clearly winding down. Whether that means we're out of the woods on snow just yet in some spots, not necessarily just yet. The crazy part of being here and just in March is you get those big temperature swings. So you could be looking at what we're going to see for today, tomorrow, and then this week's a perfect example. Come Friday morning, maybe there's a little bit of snow in some spots, because the overnight lows are right near freezing, if not slightly below that, if someone comes through.
WAMC News Director Ian Pickus has declared that it is softball season. It is spring. It will be summer shortly, and there can't be any more snow. Does that have any actual impact on the forecast?
Unfortunately, from Ian's standpoint, no. But
sorry,
I wish him the best
tried.
On that part. I'll do my best for you, Ian. I promise.
He did have his first practice, so he got outside.
Nice.
And it's been really nice some of these
days.
It's
been good so far. I remember when I was in high school and I did outdoor track, this was the time of the season that you would dread because you would have the meets and it'd either be perfect or you'd be freezing the whole time. And then you'd go through back and forth on those track meets of you have all your layers on and then you have to go down to like the spandex uniform, sprint your two laps and then go back in and you're like, this is not the greatest thing ever.
No, not the most comfortable way to
exist.
Yeah,
no, yeah. So, yeah. We're at that point. So glad it's been good so far.
Yeah. What happened this winter that's worth noting?
I mean, this winter itself, I think the big thing to note is we haven't had a major storm. We haven't had a 6-inch storm, really. And our biggest snowstorm, I still think off the top of my head, came around Thanksgiving. So, I mean, in regards to where we should be for the season, yes, we're below average, but we're not too far off. And all that's really been based off of just some quick passes, giving a quick burst of 1-3 and 1-3. And it's just been adding up. And that's how we've gotten to this point in the season.
And it is kind of a winter you'd like to navigate as a person, right? Maybe not as a skier, but as a person who's to drive places.
I think it varies. Yeah, yeah. It can.
It is really personal. When I'm saying that's what one likes.
But
that's
saying though. Because I can understand... Yeah, it's not the biggest to shovel, maybe, and clear out of the way. But I know for maybe some teachers or a student standpoint, it's still just missing out on that qualification for a snow day.
Yeah.
So that's probably a little bit more frustrating. I know for myself, I remember the 1 week where it was every other day. I remember I said to my wife, I was like, I'm kind of tired of shoveling. I kind of hope it stops for at least a couple more days.
Yeah.
So that part of it, too, I think is a little bit the mix of it. Whereas if you think back to, I want to say the year that I started, or 2 years ago, we had pretty much 2 feet of snow, those two big snowstorms, and then that was
all of our
snow for the season. And that one's a little bit depressing too, but you're like, at least we got a big snowstorm. When you think back on it, which we're lacking that this one.
Yeah, I was in Malone visiting my niece and nephew, and I was in Placid with some friends, so up north, and both times went on a walk in snow that looked like it wasn't that deep, and then post hold to my thigh.
Yep.
Because they did get a lot of snow up there.
It's deceptive up there.
And it was also a little bit embarrassing because my niece and nephew and dog all walked ahead of me and didn't fall through the snow. And then I fell through, and my niece was like, "What happened?" I was like, "What happened is I weigh multiple times as much as you. So you're cruising, and I'm really eating it, falling through the snow."
The benefit, though, is nobody saw it being in the back. So that worked out. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And I fell through, and I went, "Oh, this stinks."
Yep.
And Luna was like, "Can you say stink? Can I say stinks?" I was like, "Stinks is okay.
Stinks
we
is
can
okay.
All say
that
stinks.
One's allowed." Yeah.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or voxpop@wamc.org if you are feeling introverted and don't want to use the telephone. We do have calls. Let's take one now before the first break. Let's go to Merrill in Argyle. Hello, Merrill.
It's Merle.
Merle, sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Okay. This is just throwing information. Rich Guthrie just was on, and a lady, this is for, what's the guy's name? Just the weatherman?
Reed.
I'm trying to make it quick. Rich Guthrie had a person call in and said that she's been taking records for the past 40 years, and if you see a red-winged blackbird at your house, you won't get any more snow but maybe an inch.
Okay.
And that's just fact that she's recorded over the last 40 years. Okay, my question is...
Good, thank you.
Wind.
Yeah.
Wind.
I'm not hearing you too good. Wind. Why, when you do the weather forecast, you do the whole region, but the only place you really mention wind is in Albany. When I'm up here in the North Country, up Glens Falls area, if the wind's 30 miles an hour, it's cold out there, even if it's 60 degrees. I went out for a walk this past Saturday, I think it was, and it was nice for half the walk until the wind started blowing. And then it was cold and ran me in the house. But you don't generally give the speed of the wind to the local. You do all the way down to Catskills, all the way up to, I guess, Glens Falls.
We go further, even further north than that, sure. So you're asking why yes. The forecasters don't give
the wind
for those speeds regions. For every region that WAMC yeah. covers.
So it's a good question. One, with the bird comment, I do agree with you on that. I've noticed when I go outside, I hear the birds out, and that makes me feel like we're getting there. So yeah. that's a good sign.
I saw a robin yesterday.
In regards to the wind, whenever we give a wind gust out there, we're trying to use weather stations that we know and trust, and we can trust the data from there. So that kind of limits you already to begin with, number one. The benefit, though, is we have the New York State Mesonet sites now across the region. There is one in Glens Falls. And so we will look at those sometimes. We try to show them on air. If we were to show you all the Mesonet sites in one graphic on air, you wouldn't be able to read it. So we have multiple graphics with wind gusts on them. But so you might be seeing the one without Glens Falls on it sometimes. Because you try to keep ones in similar regions, so you kind of still get the gist of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We use Albany a lot because that's where we get our official measurements, and we use them for climatology purposes. So at the end of the day, I 1,000% agree with you. It's very windy up in the North Country. We try to use that data as best as we can in those spots, and we try to record the wind gusts across the region for the reported spots as well and show those when we get them. But yes, so we try to use those tools, but Albany's the one that we always use just because, climatologically speaking, that's what we use as our basis.
If it's very windy in Albany, is it likely to be very windy in Glens Falls, or could there be quite a separation?
There can still be quite a separation, too. You have to think where Albany's located. You're right where two valleys converge.
Yeah.
And so the winds can go kind of funnel each other into it, and you get some very strong gusts just based from the terrain alone, whereas Glens Falls might not necessarily get that. But you could also have the opposite happen. You can kind of have the terrain kind of protect Albany from the winds, mm-hmm. and then Glens Falls could still have a lot of wind where they are as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It is time for the first break of this afternoon's Vox Pop. Reed Kisselbeck is here. The phone number is 800-348-2551, and we will return momentarily. Hello, welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck is here. If you have a question about the weather, do give us a call, 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Ready to go back to the phones?
Oh, let's do it.
Okie doke. Let me go to whoever's been on hold longest, and that is Bill in Glenville. Hello, Bill.
Hello. I got a weather travel question for Reed.
That's allowed.
Okay.
I always wanted to go to Iceland. What's the best time to go for the weather?
Ooh, so I think it depends on what you want to see in Iceland, Bill. That's the tricky part. So if you are a fan more so of wanting to see like northern lights, then typically you're more limited to, I want to say it's like mid-October till around the end of March. So that means obviously winter weather. And then you'd have to plan your excursions more so based around that. If you want to go and maybe experience almost 24 hours of sunlight, then you want to go, obviously, as you get into the summertime. And so that being said, it can vary. And so, like, for myself, when I picked this vacation, my wife's not a fan of being cold. So I said, all right, we're doing this either early October or we're doing it in the later part of March when the weather should be kind of getting back up into the 30s and 40s. So it shouldn't be as cold. Which was the nice part of this trip was you could still see there's snow on the ground. It was melting, but you could start to see other spots where the grass was coming in and it's getting a little bit green. So you had a little bit of spring starting to come in there, and it wasn't overpoweringly cold. So I hope that answers your question. Depending on what you want to do, you just might need to dig into it a little bit.
Yeah. That was very good.
What do you think you want to do,
thank
Bill?
Wait.
We're doing a follow-up.
I want to go there, and I don't want to tell my wife. I want to surprise her.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
Nice.
That's
well, good
fantastic.
Luck with that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
Just remember, there's never poor weather. There's always poor equipment choices.
Ah.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Very true. Good advice. Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks,
all
Bill.
Right.
All right, let's keep it rolling, and we'll go to Damon in Pittsfield. Hello.
Hello. The college I went to my freshman year was Linden State, Linden, Vermont, and Bob Kovacic went there. They have a very good meteorology program. How many colleges have a meteorology program, and where did you get your education in being a meteorologist?
Oh, that's a good question, Nate. So there's obviously, I want to say there's 100-ish, a little bit more than 100 schools across the country that have meteorology degrees. Some have the program called like meteorology, and others are atmospheric science. Basically, the difference is just what courses you take, but it's the same thing. So, Linden's a good one. I know Neil Stano had went there as well, and people like Jim Cantore also went there. Bob went there. Penn State's another big popular one. SUNY Oneonta, SUNY Albany. That's where I went for mine. Loved that. Stony Brook has a program as well. Kind of regionally speaking, that's a core group there.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends, too. A lot of people like to go where they're intrigued a little bit more. So then you get to, like, University of Miami. You can get to Texas, like, Gulf Coast. Like, you get into the Gulf Coast states, and they have programs. Texas A&M, I know, has one. And you can also go to University of Oklahoma. You can go to those spots and start maybe a little bit more of the severe weather side of it.
Sure, yeah, tornadoes.
And Colorado has some. There's also a decent chunk on the West Coast. I think Emory Riddle is a good one over there on that side of the coastline, too. So, yeah.
Good, Damon? Any follow-ups?
Yeah, well... Yeah, how many of those were private and how many of those were public colleges?
That's a good question that I wouldn't be able to tell you the answer to off the top of my head.
The SUNYs are public.
The SUNYs are public, yeah. Linden State
was public, too.
Mm-hmm.
Linden's Vermont, yeah.
Once you start to get to the Gulf Coast area, the colleges, and a little bit more into the Midwest, that's where the lines start to blur for me a little bit. I'm not too certain.
Just because we're not from there.
Just because I'm not from there, I'm not as familiar, yeah.
Yeah. I see.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling,
Damon.
You're a very good meteorologist.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Bye.
Don't you love that?
That was very nice.
How often do you hear that?
I usually hear the opposite sometimes when people are upset. So that was nice. Thank you. I appreciate that.
A little feather in your cap.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Gold star for the day.
Yep.
800-348-2551. Please call in with your weather questions. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go now to Nathan in Chicopee. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, guys. How are you today?
We're all right. Well, I shouldn't speak for Reed.
I'm doing great, Nathan. How are you?
For the most part, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Reed, I got a question for you. So I'm originally from Chicopee, but I live in North Adams. Dude, I got one friend goes, oh, did you get snow? It's like, dude, I live in a mountain. I compare to you guys, I got more snow than you. Like, dude, what's up with the wicked wind lately? Last winter, I live in a mobile home, so I have to keep the water running. But our hot water even froze. So we had to replace the whole pipe. What's going on with that? You know what's going
on? So just in regards to just the how it's the wind
very
and all that
and
part.
Windy.
Yeah. You're talking as a whole for the whole winter season, or are you just saying as of late?
As of the whole winter season, I think it's been unbearable up here.
This winter's been an interesting one.
This wind is nuts, like crazy.
Yeah, it's been a little bit more of a breezy winter, and I know like we were touching on snow. We had a lot more close calls, with sometimes that acts as it kind of keeps the temperature gradient a little bit more sharp in contrast, giving you those breezy conditions. It's kind of like the March weather of like in like a lion, out like a lamb. You have like the really warm temperatures and really cold bursts. And I think overall this winter, we had a good chunk of it where we would get snow, it would melt, then we would get snow, it would melt. And then we got to February when it's typically our coldest temperatures and we stayed with just snow. So I think a lot of those close calls from our systems that kind of gave us those quick bursts kind of gave us those gusty winds that came through with it, just because we were closer to that temperature gradient a little bit more so this winter than maybe in years past. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Like the negative temperatures, like it was unbearable.
Yeah. Yeah. Not fun for sure. I can only imagine from your elevation, my friend.
Yeah. I'm kind of high up in the mountain. If you look at the map, I'm way up in northern Massachusetts.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice.
I think I'm like an hour from Schenectady. That's how far up in Mass I am.
Yeah. Mm. Yep, that's pretty high up there. And there's some elevation there, too. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Nathan. Hopefully it'll be warm all summer.
Have a great week.
Hope we get some warm winds. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, what is it now? It's like 60-something degrees out now.
Good. Good for
you. In the words of the grumpy old man, it's a tropical heat wave.
There you go.
All right.
Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Have a good one.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, foxpop@wamc.org. And we do have an email from Mark who says, and I don't know if you can speak to this or if you're comfortable speaking to this, but I will ask it and you can...
We'll see what we got.
Just be honest.
I gotcha. Yeah.
How do you think the Doge cuts to the NOAA will affect local and national weather forecasting?
That's a good question. It's a tough one because I think right now as the cuts are occurring, it's kind of like a let's restructure and see what we can do to try to keep what we still want to maintain. It's certainly going to be impactful. I know National Weather Service in Albany, and I believe there's a station in Maine that have, or National Weather Service Gray, I want to say, have postponed the balloon launches right now just because they're short on staffing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that certainly would be an issue. If they're not going to get any more staffing, then we can't do those. That data is pretty critical. That data is what gets fed into the computer models that gives us the forecast that helps to tell us what kind of severe weather that we'll have in our region. And so certainly is going to be an impactful thing. That being said, I'm not sure if the Weather Service has a plan on days where they know that there might be severe weather. If they do intend to do, they're just going to try to have a person come in and do those launches for them so they still can get that data in there or not. So that's certainly going to be a little bit more impactful. Those cuts, it'll hurt on some fronts of things for sure, especially in regards to forecasting. If you're speaking on forecasting accuracy, if you have less starting points of accurate data, then the forecast at the end of the day is not going to come out as accurate as you want it to.
Great.
Yep.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or voxpop@wamc.org. News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck is here, and we go now to Greg in Saratoga Lake. Hello, Greg.
Good afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing?
We're all right. How are you?
Doing good.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe, have you got your big boy pants on for my question?
I hope I do. Let's hear it.
I certainly don't, but go ahead anyway.
I was involved for 30-plus years in the college textbook industry.
Okay.
And I got to know people very well, like Dr. Volker Monin, your alma mater, Albany.
Yep.
And it's truly amazing how many people don't know that the Albany program even grants a PhD. It's a fine program.
It's a great
my
program.
Question. Maybe a comment first. Very rarely in your industry, your business, weather forecasting, do you hear anything that goes even somewhat to the political thing? What do we do conceptually to deal with global warming? Way back when I was a school teacher, I used to have this little mini thing where I would bring a round ball or a globe in and show my students how small the Earth really is. And most people can't answer the question of what's the circumference around or even how long it is to go through. My question, again, why is it that general meteorology does not really get into the directions we're going with global warming, the danger, and the statistics that show how bad and how fast it's going? That's my question to you.
So, Greg, to the extent of how I can touch on this a little bit, is our job, especially on the TV side of thing, is we only get so much time. We can only tell you what's about to happen. We can show you the data from the past and how it's changed up till now. We can't really push ahead to show you what's going to be looking into the future for regards of a change like that. But when I was at UAlbany, the department that also worked very closely with us was the Department of Environmental Sciences, and that was their sector of expertise. We didn't really take a lot of classes with them, but they were the ones who went out and did the research on those types of topics, and they would be the ones who typically would have better answers than a person such as myself.
Well, do you personally feel it's way, way overdue that you, quote-unquote, you experts, start putting the data out to youngsters at an early age, how bad and how fast the glaciers are melting,
hey, Greg.
Species die-offs. It's just, I'm 77 years old, and I've got a comparison range that goes way back, and I can see the direction is dangerously fast.
And we at WAMC do talk about climate change very often, and we agree with you, and we'll we'll have a climate change show. I understand. We do understand your question about why don't public media, not public media, but meteorologists talk about it more, but we can't speak for all of them or make them do it, but we will keep talking about it on the station and, you know, very much appreciate your concern and perspective.
Thank you very much for listening to my diatribe.
Of course.
And thank you for the guests that you have on.
Certainly. Bye-bye. Thank you, Greg. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or online at, you can email us rather, at voxpop@wamc.org. 1-800-348-2551 is the phone number to call. And we'll go now to Heather in Falls Village, Connecticut. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Heather. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry. To the gentleman who was calling in about when to go to Iceland, I went a few years ago, and it was a trip to Finland, and we took off from started to take off from JFK and stayed at the airport for about 8 hours before they finally diverted us to Reykjavik, Iceland. And I remember walking around the town because there was nothing else to do, and they have a botanical garden there. And I've never seen flowers so huge, and they were as though they were on steroids. The perennial flowers that we see in the gardens here, they were just amazing. And I'll never forget that. That's all I have to say.
That's a good experience to share. I know when I walked around, my wife and I kept saying otherworldly.
Otherworldly.
That's the best way to describe it. You look out, and there's obviously all this lava rock that has already gone, and you're like, this is so unusual to see, and it's just on the side of the road, and then you go from miles of flat to just this huge mountain right next to you and very little difference in elevation, not a gradual incline. So I think that whole country itself is just so unique. Any season you would go would be something unique is there to see for sure.
Thank you for your call and sharing your experience, Heather. The phone number for your weather questions for Reed Kisselbeck, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And let us go now to Joan in Schenectady. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Sarah. How great to speak with you.
It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks. And hello, our climate expert. I love it when they say Radar Read.
Radar Read.
I wanted to share just a couple quick things.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm pretty accurate with my last snowfall prediction, and I hope I'm mistaken this time because I'm actually feeling like one more 2 to 4 inch in the, you know, the capital region, not everywhere, but I hope I'm wrong.
Ian said that can't happen, Joan. Ian Pickus says no, it can't happen.
Do you know how much I really enjoy being wrong?
Yeah.
that's very evolved of you.
Thank you. My other thing is I can confirm the first sighting of my red-winged blackbirds returning to the area.
Great.
So now where I am, I'm kind of in, I don't want to tell the weather this, I'm in an oasis where we get a lot of the wind, but we're in a nice little sweet spot where I live. So, and what was
don't tell the weather.
In fact, don't tell my family. We're not even allowed to think about the weather.
Did you know, Joan, that you are live on the radio right now, so your family could be hearing.
Well, I'm just telling everybody. Don't. Tell my family. Anyway,
We got you.
That was it. I just wanted to, and thank you. Thanks for your predictions. And sorry, I don't have a more pertinent question.
Oh, that's all right.
You're okay.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
You betcha.
Sure. Bye. Take care. Bye, Joan. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Call now with your weather questions for Reed Kisselbeck. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. It is time for a break, and we will be back momentarily. Again, the phone number, 800-348-2551. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon, here with News Channel 13 meteorologist Reed Kisselbeck, taking your weather calls, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And we do have some people lined up on the phones, so let us go to Nancy in Schenectady. Hello, Nancy.
The one in Schenectady?
That's right, the one in Schenectady.
Okay. I'm calling because on a lot of the weather prediction things that I hear, the meteorologist, which probably is not Reed, because these people refer to rain coming with a negative connotation. They talk about the risk of rain. And my apple trees and pear trees and raspberries do not think of that in a negative way. They rather look forward to it. So I just would like to put in a word that we don't need to put negative connotations on rain coming.
Fair enough. There's enough negativity in the world anyways, Nancy.
That's
it's
right.
A good point. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. This is a unique area where I understand where the language comes from, because they're saying risk of rain of like, don't go outside, then all of a sudden just get caught in a storm and not be prepared. So I get that part of it. But there's enough farmers in this area. There's enough recreational activities. And I mean, just like you mentioned, you have your trees in your yard where they need the water. And so I know it's much needed rain sometimes. So we have a chance for rain is the better way of saying there's a risk for it. And so that's the way that
exactly.
I like to say it a little bit more. I know a couple more people, there's been a lot more vocalism about that, I would say, in recent years. So that's something I've taken note of. I've tried to change it a little bit more, especially if you show like a drought monitor, but that goes into an entirely different field of issues if you start that one there. But yes, no, it's a good point to have. I appreciate it.
Nancy, your vote in favor of rain has been counted. Thank you. Thanks for listening and for calling. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the phone number to call and pose your weather questions to Reed Kisselbeck. And we'll go now to Leslie in Saratoga Springs. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty well.
We're doing great.
Awesome. Hey, I this isn't like really a question about weather, and I apologize because I know you're getting a lot of those, but this is a question about your training. And I'm curious because one of the things I love about watching the weather, whether it be national or local, is how like the new guy is always out in the storm or gale. He's like standing there getting blown over, rain coming down, maybe they're in the middle of something dangerous. Like, is that part of your training? Like, do you know going in that that's going to be expected of the new person on the block?
It's a good question, honestly. I think it depends on a couple different factors. It can depend on the size of a weather department, for example, too. So, like, I know when I worked in Utica, we were a 3-man weather team. So if I was working with the meteorologist that was on air, I knew that I was the one who was getting sent out in the field and I was going to have to do all that live coverage. Here, we have a team of 6. It can also depend on who's working. If it's a severe weather day, sometimes, like you've probably seen Paul Inhouse talking about the warnings, everything going on. You've seen Juanique out in the field giving us a look of how it looks. But I'm also there too, and I'm working behind the scenes trying to give Paul updates. I'm also trying to tell Juanique where to go and things like that. So sometimes there's a little bit more coordination that isn't necessarily seen. So sometimes it goes along the lines of, it might have already been the warning started coming in before Juanique's shift started. So me and Paul already had this routine going. And so they go, all right, Juanique, just come in with some outside gear. And we're just going to send you right out. So it can vary by the situation. But typically in a general market sense, if you are the weekend person, when you come in during the week, you typically have a little bit more free time to help out in shows. So typically they send you out because they also know that you have more time to dry off and get ready again before the next time you have to get back on air too. So yeah, a little bit more coordination with it, but yeah.
Well, I think it's fabulous. And I think that, I don't know if it's always been that way, but it adds a certain flair to the weather that, You love to see that person who's braving it, who's holding their ground when the wind's blowing, and it just makes us all, you know, feel like we're part of the team. I love it.
It's a good way to do it.
Leslie's living for the drama.
I think there's a part to it too, though. That's good because we can show you a radar and say, "Look, it's pouring rain," and people are like, "I don't really understand," but you can give you the ground truth by having somebody out there. Necessarily, it's not always the smartest to have somebody out there. I know that's one that gets brought up a lot sometimes.
It is.
Granted, we are always in contact with our people. So if we feel it's not safe, we even tell them. If they don't feel that they're safe, tell us, and we will not put you on air in those spots and circumstances. So
I would not in a million years think that you would put people in danger.
I wasn't saying you, Leslie. Don't worry. I trust you. But okay. Yeah, no, I know that. That's something that we usually get sometimes behind the scenes on a severe weather day. They'd be like, "How dare you send this person out?" And we're like, "We understand it." Because contextually, it can look bad. But we're in constant communication with them.
Yeah.
When you have a meteorologist out there too, they always know when to
call
throw
it.
Things back and call it. Yeah.
Right. Because they're the professional and they know what's going on.
Exactly. That's a good
question. All right. Well, thank you for that information. Like I said, keep up the good work. I think it's all fantastic.
Why, thank you. That was a good question.
Thank you for calling, Leslie. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And now we move to Kristen in Averill Park. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, Reed.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, explain to me about the aurora borealis and how you sometimes can see it with your naked eye and sometimes you can't.
It's all right. I'll do my best with this one. So aurora borealis is it's a result of a solar flare that comes off the sun. It starts to interact with the magnetic field. You get the different colors based on the different molecules of elements in the atmosphere that those molecules are starting to interact with. So green is oxygen. So that's why you see green typically a lot more. The other ones, I'm sorry, I can't remember those ones off the top of my head in that circumstance. It has to do with, visibility-wise, has to do with the speed at which those molecules are hitting each other, and I believe also density. Oh. So how much of a solar flare, how strong it was that hit us, to give you a good view of them. So for our region, if it's hitting really hard and it's really dense, we have really good visibility. If you are farther north, you don't necessarily need that as much, and you can still see it okay just because you're closer to the poles, you're closer to all that activity is a little bit more largely based.
Well, it's interesting. I asked because I was just up in Alaska for 2 weeks.
Cool.
And we were
jealous.
Out in the and the lights were hitting hard, and we were in Coldfoot, which is in the middle of nowhere, so we had amazing visibility, clear skies, but we couldn't see them with a naked eye. So I just held my camera up, stood around and took pictures in a circle, and I got reds and greens and fluorescent greens, but you couldn't see them with just your eye. They only came out in pictures.
Yeah, that has to do with more so the molecule side and the density part of what you were encountering at that point. So I agree with you, too. When I was in Iceland and I saw them, I was lucky enough to see some color, not the strongest of color, but like you said, pulling out your phone
we saw
and
a little green.
Doing the cameras with it, that increases the exposure. So it lets more light in and you're able to see those colors a little bit more than your own eyes can in those circumstances.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks
for calling, Kristen. Have a great day.
Hope you enjoyed Alaska.
Bye-bye.
Sounds like she did.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we'll go now to Gene in Smallwood. Hello.
Oh, hey there, guys. It's good to talk to you, and I'm a big WAMC listener, and I'm always loving your forecasts. But every time I listen to one, a question occurs to me, which is the geographical groupings. You guys typically will say for the North Country, and then I think you mention some city names, then you'll say for the Northern Catskills, and then you'll go down to the Southern Catskills. And you know, I live out by Monticello, about 6 miles to the west of Monticello in Smallwood. And my question always is, like, why are we grouped together with the Litchfield, what is it, the Litchfield Fields or something
Litchfield
like that?
Litchfield Hills,
yes, hills, there you go, way off right in Connecticut or something. Like, how does this work? I don't understand.
It's a great question that I probably don't have the answer for, honestly, Gene. Just because when I started, that format was already made. So, and I know, and I think it was already made too before Paul even took over on that. So,
yeah,
I can't even pick the brain of the person who set it up that way. I think more so, I think they just try to geographically group a little bit closer, regionally speaking. So, even though it might not make sense terrain wise or something like that, you're still closer together geographically.
If the climate zones are similar,
or it's the climate zone, or so I can't, unfortunately. I don't know the exact answer to that one. I'm sorry, Gene, just because I think I'm two generations out from when this one started.
I actually thought it might have something to do with the fact that, of course, weather isn't static. It actually moves. So maybe something that begins over here near the Delaware River begins to move, to the northeast towards the Litchfield Hills or something, right? Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Yeah, so it could be part of it. I'm not. Unfortunately, I don't. I wish I had a better answer for you, Gene. I'm sorry.
This seems like the answer is your theories on this specific question, Gene, are as good as ours, if not better.
I'm sorry, man. I like to think I know the answer to that one. That one, I'm not too sure on. Sorry.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks for listening. Have a great day. And I'm not going to give the phone number again because we're almost out of time, and we have a bunch of calls to try to get to. Who's been on hold the longest? Fran. Fran in Castleton, hello.
Hi, Fran.
Hello.
Hello there. I believe I've been having microbursts, which I define as mini tornadoes. last summer, my visitors were out on the front porch. There was a vicious wind. I scooted them indoors. They ran out to the back porch in time to watch a large tree in the far back of my property get hit and cracked completely off. It was a triple trunk tree. Now it's a double trunk tree.
Oh, wow.
And it was a corridor of wind that shot down from the front through my driveway out the far back of my property and didn't seem to affect anything on my neighbor's yard or the rest of my yard. Is that a common occurrence in this area?
So microbursts in general, I know you define them as mini tornadoes, which is great. For those who don't know, it's a quick, intense burst of wind. It's usually under a 2-mile radius, so hence micro. Mm-hmm. Macro is better. Macro is anything larger than 2 miles. And you can get some very strong wind gusts. You hear the sound of a roar of a train, kind of like you would with a tornado, but it's straight line winds. Mm-hmm. And so when you go out there and look at the damage, if it's all the trees are falling in one direction, it's more likely a straight line or a micro-macro burst kind of event, whereas a tornado, the damage would be flowing around everywhere because it's spinning in a circle. This sounds more so to me like just terrain-wise based around you. It's just not the best geographic location. You get that intense little burst that kind of just funnels its way right up your property and gives you a little bit more of an elevated risk than those around you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's not that's about the second time in 20 years it's happened here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes you can get them just based off of that setup. If the areas where it's a little bit more familiar, then you can see those occurrences happen a little bit more frequently than in other spots. So that could be why you have the twice within 20 years. Yeah.
Hmm.
Did the trunk fall? Go ahead, Fran.
It fell on empty ground. No one was hurt.
Thank goodness.
That's good.
Is that what your question?
Anyone or anything. Yes. That was going to be my question.
No, my neighbor's the. Yes. That came through and hit nothing but the ground. We had a severe wind 2 days ago, and it knocked a nine foot lighthouse has been out in my front yard for years. Just tore it off its base and knocked it completely over. A wind from the south that was very unusual for here. Do you know anything about this wicked south wind we had a few days ago?
About Castleton?
If you recall that we have all the national news stories about that severe weather that was happening down south and all the tornado outbreaks. So we have that northernmost edge of that line come on through. So that's the southerly wind. That's also why we have the warmer temperatures now in our region. It's the southerly wind that's bringing those temperatures here. So when that came through, I know my neighbors lost a couple fence posts and like the top of like their little deck posts like blew off with it too. So yeah, some very strong gusty winds here locally. There was some very localized gusts. I know central and western New York, they had spots between 60 to 75 mile an hour gusts. So definitely not alone on that one.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It certainly shook the house.
Yeah,
thank you.
For sure.
Our garbage cans were so blown over.
It's my favorite graphic. Where's my trash can?
All right, let's see. We have time. All right, I'm going to come to you, Gregory, in Hyde Park, but be ready to be quick. Go ahead, Gregory.
Hi, just following up on Jean's question. I noticed that in the mornings, Paul always talks about, I'm down in Hyde Park, but I don't know why I noticed this, but Paul divides up his predictions for Vermont to the northern and central, and then the southern is a separate one. And actually, when Garrett comes on in the afternoon, he always talks about all of Vermont. So it doesn't seem like you're even standardized there.
We gotta go. Time to go. No, I'm just kidding. It's a good point, Gregory. I know Garrett has a shorter time frame, so he might just be condensing it a little bit more, and hence why I might not seem as standardized. That part I think I can answer for you at least. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You and your questions, Gregory. How
good
dare.
Question, Gregory.
Just kidding. Thanks for calling and for listening.
All right. Well, take care.
Sure. Have a good day.
Bye.
I keep being about to give the phone number again, and that would be foolhardy.
Oh, we can't do that now.
No, we
can't.
No, we cannot. So let me think. Do I want to pretend another call will fit in? No. Instead, I'll ask you, Reed, what do you have any other trips coming up? Or
other
where do you want to go
for me
next?
Right now? Not at the moment. I usually get one trip in for the year for myself. On the bucket list, though, would be Egypt or Machu Picchu before those go at some point, before it becomes harder for me to go do those.
Right.
Those are the big ones for me. I know otherwise I have tiny trips, just like little airports out for weddings and stuff like
of
that.
Of course.
So,
yeah, you're that age.
Yep,
you
got the
age.
Weddings right now. Yeah.
Weddings every weekend in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. All right. Well, it's been great to hang out with you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We are out of time, but I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those left on the line. I also, of course, do want to thank Reed for being with us today. Support for Vox Pop comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And the Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Ed Rosen for answering the phones. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff. He should be back tomorrow. Tomorrow it is Home Maintenance and Improvement with Darren Tracy. Ray will talk to you at 2 p.m. The Book Show is up next.